I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, UK Bills Fan Club podcast with a UK twist. I've got Robin, myself, Matt, and a blowout. Blowout victory, week 5.
Yeah.
They can call 38-3.
Yeah, I think that counts.
I think you were a bit pissed about that result, Robin.
Yeah. I don't like to bet against my own team or root against my own team under any circumstances, but I did make the prediction of 38-10. And when they were playing the kids for the fourth quarter, I was thinking, well, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they got another 7 and they got a perfect score, but they had to go and blow it, didn't they? But yeah, apart from two slightly nervous first downs at the beginning of and a muffed kickoff return, that 3rd and 10 certainly settled the nerves, didn't it?
Well, of course. I don't know what everyone's feeling was after that. After those first two, the first and second down on the opening drive, did you fear the worst? Or were you confident?
I'm programmed to feel the worst now.
Yeah, it's just a natural reflex. I was always pretty sure we were going to win, but I thought, oh God, this could get bogged down in a first or second quarter and we pull away later on. It could be just, you know, one of them. But oh my God, Randall Cunningham-esque. For any of the older boys and girls, 1990 against the Bills, funnily enough. Avoids the sack, throws it up in the air, and it went straight. It was one of the first great touchdowns I ever remember watching. It was one of the things that really made me fall in love with the game, that Randall Cunningham touchdown. And it was, I must have seen it 50 times today. It's just poetic. Even the wife was watching it with me, and even she's not a huge sports fan, but even she was just like, that's amazing. You know, when non-sports fans are wowed, you know, that you've really broken through.
I think it's the second longest in Bills history. I think, was it Fitzpatrick and Johnson or someone, Stevie Johnson got the most, got 99 yards, something like that?
Yeah, well, you can't go beyond 99, can you? Because they don't give it for 100.
Technically, no.
So, it's about as good as you're going to get, isn't it?
Especially after, like you said, it was kind of the after the muffed kind of kickoff return, two dry downs that had gone nowhere. There was just that little bit of like, this isn't the way that you want it to start. First drive, we normally hit out really well, and then that's kind of set the tone. And then even then, we kind of stumbled a little bit after the touchdown. And Kenny Pickett had a good drive. I was thinking, I was watching him, and I know that it only ended up being a field goal, but I was still watching it thinking, this kid looks pretty good. We're in for a long afternoon here. If he's going to get these like 10, 15 yard pickups when he needs them. But there was always that little bit of me that thought, I wonder if that's as good as it's going to get. And sure enough, that was it. It was okay.
The one thing that did, I guess, inflate Pickett's stats was the fact that it was almost like garbage time throws where they just abandoned the run. They were 38-3 down, and all they were just doing were just throwing against a second and third string defense. So even then, the fact that we held them only to 3 points and not really gave up a big play really shows, the depth in this team. And when you figure out the likes of Tremaine Edmonds this week.
No starting safeties.
Yeah, or Poyer. No Poyer and doing that. We need him back against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But no Poyer, like you said, no Edmonds. And still to play as well as they are is someone else. Kaya Alam got picked on a lot early in that game against George Pickens. And I thought he struggled earlier on, but held his own and came good. And couldn't have been happier with the way that the secondary played again.
Yeah, I think I think most of us, I think I was using a bit of reverse psychology, and I think on the WhatsApp group chat, we're using reverse psychology and helped quite a bit, because, I mean, Elam did look like he was an undrafted type cornerback in that first part where he was actually getting picked on, and even he came out after the game and actually said it wasn't his best performance. It said he's not happy with that performance. And he didn't play up to his potential, and that's the good thing. But we just got to, as you say, we got to hope that Poyer's back, because without Poyer, I think Mahomes will really test Elam. And I think that could be a matchup really to watch. But that's for another show.
Yeah, it's those underneath routes, wasn't it, that they were getting him on. But you know, I always go back to that, those pre-draft interviews and stuff, and he's filling his A4, you know, his file paper. He's going to be writing essays about this game, and maybe a week is too short a time span. He's still a rookie. He's going to be fine. He's going to figure it out. But yeah, we could do with some Tremaine. We could do with some pass rush, just to take some. Just to take some pressure off him for next week.
I mean, Josh Allen's pretty good though, isn't he?
He's all right, isn't he? He was all right. He's throwing a pick, had a fumble near the goal line. I said it wasn't his fault, but Quentin Morrison a missed field goal. They left 17 on the field.
Yeah,
17 points potentially as well. Yeah.
And he missed. I wish they'd stop. I mean, I know for the good of the Bills, it's good. But for the sake of my fantasy team, I need him to keep playing, because it's costing me a lot of points. And I lost this week because they took him out. And I've had two defeats this season so far in fantasy, and both of them was because they pulled Josh Allen out the fourth quarter. But yes,
he was hanging around for the record, wasn't he? He 420 or so, didn't he?
424,
He took a bath.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm all right with that.
I was lucky. I had both Allen and Davis in one of my dream teams.
Nice.
So they got like 60 points between them, and just pretty much I could have just won it just with those two alone on there. I think the one word you can actually describe Josh is record breaking.
Yeah.
History making, because the Bills, that first drive, that 98-yard touchdown, was the longest scrimmage touchdown in the first 90 seconds of a game in NFL history.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hasn't he just gone past Peyton Manning's number of touchdowns in the first five seasons as well, hasn't he? He's 20 or 21. I checked earlier today.
Yeah, 21 behind
Dan Marino, with five games down. So if we give him 11 games to do it, because that would seem fair to do on a 16-game season, 11 games to get 20 touchdowns.
Well, and that's combined.
Should be all right. Pass,
he's doing about three a game at the moment, isn't he? Gets two a game. he's there.
And that's pass and rush, so it's not just passing. Yeah. So, I say, it just showed really how good, and even his first half stats, we got,
256 after in the first half, I think.
Yeah, and four touchdowns.
Yeah.
263 yards of offense. Now that's in only 2 minutes 44 over four drives.
Yeah.
Four drives against the Steelers on Sunday in two and three quarter minutes. They put up 263 yards of offense. They averaged 235 yards of offense over the full game on their first four opponents this season.
And that's against, you know, we're not playing the Texans here.
No.
I know the Steelers aren't necessarily what they were, but, you know, that's still a defense that's got Cameron Haywood in it. That's still Minka Fitzpatrick, one of the best safeties in the league that he's picking apart. It's, you know, I know offensively they're not great shakes at the moment, but that's still a fantastic defense. And he's just absolutely had his way with them. It was like they had absolutely no idea. They managed to make Khalil Shakir look like one of the top wide receivers in the game in this game. It was just, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
We don't need to do anything else. Just give him the ball.
It's just, you've just got to be amazed at the progress. And obviously, as we keep saying, there's not much of a hangover. There's not much of a hangover from Dable to Dorsey. And I mean, look what Dable's doing in New York with the Giants at the moment.
Oh, God, not many people had them over the Packers, did they? No, I didn't. But,
no, absolutely not.
Packers are a funny old team, aren't they, at the moment? They'll sort it out, but it's New York. You talk about hanging around in a game and just hanging around and just coming up with stuff. And the amount of, like, wildcats and direct snaps and, you know, trick plays that they were pulling, because they just don't have any other way of, like, moving down the field, and somehow Dable's pulling it all out. Yeah, got to credit the guy for turning that around.
Yeah, fair play to him. There's a bit of me that was a little bit disappointed about something in the Steelers game. When James Cook scored his rushing touchdown towards the end, that was the first touchdown we've scored this season that Josh Allen isn't directly responsible for.
Yeah.
That was the first rushing touchdown that wasn't Josh Allen, and the first non-passing touchdown we've scored this season. I quite enjoyed it. I was seeing the percentage of something on the quarterbacks, that the percentage of touchdowns that their starting quarterback is responsible for. And up to this game, the Bills were Josh Allen 100%, and I was hoping to maintain that all year. But unfortunately, it's crazy.
Do you see when Shakir got his touchdown as well, and he threw the ball to the referee, and then Josh
charged to get it
to the referee, and then grabbed it off him and gave it back to him. What the hell are you doing? That was your first touchdown.
This is your first one. Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. And you want that. That's a leader, right? That's someone who's like, you know, you're going to want to remember this. This isn't like, it's not someone like Aaron Rodgers who trots off and doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, he said, no, this is a big moment. Go and get your ball. You'll remember that forever. That's what I want my quarterback to be like that.
Well, you just can't find anything bad to say about him, can you? I was watching the thing as well. I think it was actually Bill's official PR. They've just released a clip of him doing his pre-game handshake with everyone. And he's got a different handshake for every member of the offense. So if any one of them scores, that's the handshake. That's the celebration. Just all that stuff about just building unity. And he just really just does seem like one of the guys that's just, let's go out and play. And they're doing it. And I'm chuffed a bit. James Cook got his touchdown because he had a hard couple of games. He's going to be finding his way. He's going to make a couple of mistakes. But, it's just brilliant.
Yeah. You've just got to run out of superlatives for this offense. The fact that we lost McKenzie, obviously we had Davis out for a bit. Crowder's gone, and yet
and Marcus Stevenson.
Yeah, Dawson Knox gone. You had the likes of
Knox was out. Yeah,
Shakir, Hodgins, and Morris. Yeah, not the most experienced guys in there coming in. And yes, Morris had the fumble at the goal line, but he's shown that
I thought he played well.
It was only on the replay as well. It was very nearly. He'd got in. He maybe just got a little careless just at the goal line because he probably thought he was in. And
I don't know the stats on it, but we have to be one of the most injured squads in the league right now. If you look at starters out, we've got to be right up there with the numbers that are missing.
Don't tell that to Dolphin fans.
No.
Don't tell that to Dolphin fans.
That's very confused, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at the way that they have coped and the players that have stepped up, it shows coaching on this team is utterly phenomenal to get everyone at the level that they need to be. And you know, our second string could probably win the AFC East.
Yeah.
And they're playing well enough, you know, maybe not Case Keenum, but everybody else, the second string could do a damn fine job in the NFL. And it just says how good Sean McDermott is, man. He's just unbelievable, the job he's done there.
Oh, it's good. I mean, Tyrell Dodson came in, and we maybe with a slightly more sterner opposition, we'd like to get Tremaine back, you know, for next week. But Tyrell Dodson was good. I saw him zipping around the field. Thought Hamlin was pretty good at safety as well. I mean, we could talk about the
perfectly legal tackle,
the no flag on Pickett, which actually seemed fine to me. But again, he was fine. There was no didn't give a lot up.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's
Matt was getting in some beef with some Steelers fans about that.
Don't do it, mate. It's not. They're not worth it.
Fucking hell. And I've seen his actually Twitter as well on there. It's nothing.
He's a very angry man.
On his Twitter, he's even more angry. He says, "Chase Claypool, you're a bum." Blah 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 blah. He's even having to go to his own team for it. I'm thinking, are you a true fucking fan here, mate?
I know. It was funny. It was funny.
He said he wants Sir Ann Neill to get discipline coach. I said
I thought that Sir Ann Neill's was more questionable for me.
Shaq Lawson, you mean?
Sorry, Shaq Lawson.
Oh, yeah,
more questionable for me. The one where he was, and I still don't think he necessarily was going for his leg. It felt like he was almost stumbling and hit the leg. But I didn't think Hamlin's was there was anything wrong with that.
No, I thought
guy was a runner.
Yeah. Well, initially, when you looked at it, from first glance, it looked like he's already down and he actually come charging in and hitting him. I mean, me and Robin were talking about this before we come on the show. You look at the replays and when it slowed down, you can see that Hamlin's taken off as. Pickett was going down. He hadn't touched the ground just then. So he was going in the process of going down. Hamlin then obviously started his dive. And as soon as he went down, obviously what's Hamlin supposed to do? Magically become Superman.
Yeah. He can't turn invisible.
And then the one on Lawson, I think, it's borderline, but that's a legal tackle as well because Pickett was a runner.
Yeah.
And he was outside the box. If he was inside the box, then I would definitely say that was a dirty play by Lawson.
If it was a running back, no one would question it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's because it's a quarterback, it's seen as the worst thing in the world.
But then
I don't necessarily hate Kenny Pickett's reaction to it. You know, fair play.
Oh, yeah, no.
Feels like he's been wronged. I'd want Josh Allen to get up and have a go at the guy as well. So I'm all right with that. But I like the fact that Romo called it straight away. Guy was, you know, outside the tackle box. He's fair game.
Yeah. I think as much as people moan about it, I mean, we would probably be the same if it happened to Allen. But we've had these calls go against us. We've had the calls go for us. It's luck of the draw with these referees nowadays. So you never know when they're really going to get that call and get it right. Mm-hmm. And it's just like Premier League football at the moment with VAR.
There's blatant holds that they don't flag. You get pass interference for absolutely nothing. And then, it really does even itself out after a while. You just got to try and accept it with the same grace as when it goes for you as when it goes against you.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing we do obviously do have to talk about, obviously defense is one of them, but is these rookies.
Mm.
These rookies this year, I mean, first interception by Elam.
Yep.
First touchdown by Shakir. First touchdown by James Cook.
Yeah.
And the fact that, especially in Shakir being a fifth rounder, obviously Benford being a sixth rounder last year, a couple of years ago, Dane Jackson, seventh rounder, Matt Milano, a fifth rounder, Gabe Davis, a fifth rounder. It just shows that these rookies, regardless of where they come in, have got the Buffalo DNA in them.
We're drafting the right guys, aren't we?
Mm.
It's come a long way in 10 years since previous regimes where we drafted, let's not even discuss people like EJ Manuel, etc. But the talent they're picking up, especially in later rounds,
yeah,
Yeah, it's just like you. It's
That's why I'm now disappointed when they actually give up a late round pick for a player or move up in the draft. So I'm thinking, by all means, go get that player that's in that board. But with our history, we should be saving those and actually getting those on cheap contracts. And we know that they're going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, but it makes you wonder how significant that picking up Brandon Bean in this whole thing was. Like that was very much a sliding doors moment for Buffalo. I think the getting him in, getting Sean McDermott in, even more so than like Josh Allen or anything else. It was that moment that they picked up those guys really was the catalyst for all of this. It's just been so good since then.
You see the shirt that Von Miller had.
Brilliant, that.
I think we've got to find out where he's got that from. I think there's a load of Bills fans are going to be getting one of those.
But yeah, guys, a lover.
I mean, going back to Shakir and all that with what he's done. I mean, do you foresee McKenzie losing more and more snaps as it goes along if Shakir keeps showing this impact? Because Shakir can play outside and inside. He's only had what was it? I'm trying to find the notes on there. I can't find it now. But he's actually he's done more Shakir with his limited reps than McKenzie's done this season.
I think they'll find a way to keep to blend them all into the attack. I think that, you know, different looks against different opponents, different looks against different defenses. I think McKenzie will continue to be a big part. I think they will still ease Shakir into the offense. I think he trusts McKenzie a lot, and that's why they like him.
Yeah,
I think we'll still see both of them. I don't see it being too much. You know, I'd rather have more weapons than no weapons.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm really pleased with Shakir, but he's still a rookie. It's one game. It's one game against a not terribly good team. Let's see what happens. I think we'd all want McKenzie to be back for next week. Fingers crossed. He should be. I'd expect him to get more of the play of it. Although I will say, just when he mentioned James Cook, that turn of pace that he showed when he broke through the line and then turned on the Jets, that was pretty exciting stuff, because we don't really have too many of the players that will do that as well. So again, it's another one. Let's just keep getting him, keep feeding him, keep bringing.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that progresses with James Cook, because Singletary still kind of only 6 carries, admittedly 7 yards a carry is not bad in this game, but it's still something and nothing. And he's, you know, he's okay, but it's interesting to see how James Cook progresses. Like you said, he had a difficult start to his career, but maybe this is the confidence booster he needed to really kick on from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I think Shakir's now got that that wide receiver number 4 pretty much covered. So obviously, with Crowder going on IR for the rest of the season, who else we got? We've got Kumaro's going to be out for quite some time. Obviously, Hodgins going to be there. Unless they do go for a OBJ,
I can't see us going for him, personally. Although, I mean, like some of the stuff that Von Miller says, and it makes it seem like it's nailed on when he's fit. He was like, you know, we all know where he's going. Okay. I don't know. There's other players. If we were going to bring players in, there's other ones that I'd rather bring in than OBJ.
And quite apart from anything else, I mean, how isn't he about a month or two behind Trey coming back? I mean, Trey's still not back yet. If their timetable of recovery is the same, you're not even getting a sniff of OBJ till November, December, maybe. Regular season's almost over. You're gearing up for the playoffs at that point. So,
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, what they do, how they play it. I don't think they need to bring another wide receiver in. I mean, you've got Isaiah Hodgins, you've got Stevenson to come back, even though he hasn't really been tried and tested that much. Obviously, you got Shakir, you have McKenzie. He'll be back definitely for next week. So obviously, concussion protocol and all that. Davis is now seems to be fully healthy when he actually with that display, and obviously Diggs, you've got enough there with James Cook, Dawson Knox, Quinton Morris, all being able to pass catching ability in there, that you don't need to bring in another wide receiver to this team.
No, you just need the players we have got back from injury, because you end up with, you know, being ever so crowded. You know, suddenly, I mean, Kumaro, I think maybe after the bye, I think Stevenson and it's a broken ankle for Crowder, wasn't it? So you, that's at the very least 6 weeks. You got to think. So, you know, those two might be a loss, but I feel pretty good about what we have with Hodgins. A couple of nice catches. If you then got Diggs, Davis, and hopefully McKenzie back, Shakir, you're looking at the fifth guy anyway, aren't you? Assuming those guys stay fit. So,
yeah.
I mean, looking at it, I mean, the one thing that is good and one thing that we haven't seen all season is that defensive line had everyone fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone fit. They held Henry to little or no yards on there. They actually stopped Najee Harris, who is actually a pretty decent running back, to 1.8 yards per carry.
Yeah.
And what he ended up with, what, 16, 17 yards or something like that, maybe a little less.
Yep.
And the fact that now you see, okay, there wasn't that much, there was quite a bit of pressure on there. We only sacked him three times, but you've got that defensive line. We now see what this defensive line can do and be dominant. And I have a feeling that if we keep them healthy, it's going to be hard for this for any offense to really contend and defend it.
In every quantifiable, worthwhile stat, we are kind of on offense and defense, we're first to third, really, except for one, rushing yards. Everything else, total yards first, passing yards first, points second, defense, total yards second, rushing yards third, points first. It's, you know. It's okay so far. I'm all right. Yeah, it's gone all right. Yeah. I really wish we'd beaten the Dolphins. Wish we'd beaten the Dolphins. But there's a little bit of me that's kind of pleased that we don't have that whole like unbeaten thing hanging over us. It's a bit more, you know, that isn't something that we need to worry about.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's good. If we did, then, I mean, obviously, Raiders, when we record this, the Chiefs are due to face the Raiders tonight. Obviously, we record this Monday evening. So there is a chance that it could be 2-4-1 teams. It could be a thing that the Raiders somehow, which is highly unlikely, use a bit of reverse psychology there, maybe.
Don't put the mockers on it there.
Could actually give Chiefs a 3-2, but I think it's good. And the fact that also we've rested our starters. I mean, we had, I'd say, Edmonds was out, Knox was out, Poyer was out. At least we've rested them and not had them play with the injury and make it worse in time for the Chiefs when you've got the bye week directly afterwards.
Yeah. Fourth quarter off as well and an extra day.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't know what else. I think we've pretty much gone through everything on there. What really stood out. I mean, I'm going to.
It was just dominant, not from start to finish. Nothing else that you need to say was there. We predicted it would be a battering, and a battering it was. And yeah. That's what's good about the minute. You know, you can be. I've never been so confident that the Bills are going to beat bad teams.
Mm.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to go over the stats. Obviously, we talked about the 150 career touchdowns that Allen had. He's behind Mahomes, Marino, Aaron Rodgers. And all that. He trails Marino by 21, Cam Newton by 9 now, and Mahomes by 8. He's got 151 career offensive touchdowns. That first half performance was actually 348 pass yards and 4 touchdowns as a personal record for him, and the second most pass yards in the first half since 1991. Do you want to know who has more? Cool. Do you know? We're going to have another guessing game.
More passing yards in the first half.
Yes.
Oh,
since 1991, where the records really since the play by data had been tracked.
91.
Who around in 91?
No, it's from the. The play-by-play data has been tracked since 1991.
Oh, anyone since 1991.
Between 1991 and Sunday has actually thrown for more in the first half than Josh Allen's 348.
Is it probably someone stupidly recent like Mahomes?
Spot on.
Oh, okay.
359 in week 2. In week 12 in 2020.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, pretty good company, man.
Yeah, he's all right. He's not bad, is he?
Yeah, he's all right.
Josh Allen is also averaging 32.6 yards per completion. His attempts over 20 yards from Josh Allen in week 1 against the Rams, it was 6.5 of his attempts were over 20-plus yards. Tennessee was 10.5%. Miami was 6.3%. Baltimore was 8.3%. Do you want to take a guess for yesterday? This will shock you.
I'm going to say it must be something close to 20.
Near and sort of.
I'll say 19.
15.
35.5%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
35.5% of Josh Allen's attempts were over 20-plus yards.
Consider me shocked. Yeah.
And that hasn't been the offense. But, I mean, they just decided, I'll tell you what, I'm bored of this. I'm bored of everyone saying that they're the really good secondary. Let's just take them on. Cheers.
Yeah.
I mean,
other teams are going to study that film as well. They can see, look, they can blow you away with 50, 60-yard passes and deep balls, or they can beat you with short passes, or they can beat you with intermediate passes. It's going to put a lot of really interesting stuff on film for other DCs to try and figure out.
Exactly. And Gabe Davis, we go on to Gabe Davis. The last two games, the commentators were Jim Nance and Tony Romo. Gabe Davis has gone for 11 catches, 372 yards, 6 touchdowns, and an average of 33.3 yards per catch.
Did they do the Chiefs playoff game then?
They did do the Chiefs playoff game.
They did, yeah.
Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I think they're doing the next Chiefs game as well.
And
sure, they mentioned it during the game. Hopefully, Romo and hold it together.
And he's also, his 57 yards per catch on Sunday marked a single game franchise record. And led by Davis, and the Bills averaged 10.22 yards per play, a franchise record, and the third best mark by any team since 1940. Since at least 1940.
That was a crazy year, though, 1940, wasn't it?
No, it was one of my favourites, that one.
Yeah, the glory days of 40, yeah.
And what was it? I've got a couple more. Obviously, we all know that the Bills still haven't had anyone score in the third quarter on them.
Yeah.
And the last time an NFL team did that was Minnesota in 2016 in the first five games.
And that was, that defense was unreal. It was just under when Mike Zimmer had come in, and they were like, looked like they were going to be a playoff team or a Super Bowl contender team. That was, yeah, that was a really, really great team.
And still only 7 points in the second half in total.
Yeah. Yep.
Which again is probably, I think that's even more.
It's mental.
Dumbfounding, isn't it?
And
five
60...
games, 7 points in five games.
And 61 overall, 61 points conceded overall in those five games.
12 averaging 12 points.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
Saron Neal came in late in that game. Credited with 4 pass breakups.
Oh, yeah,
Only 10 players have had more than that in total in the NFL so far this season.
Don't ask me to name them.
No, I'm not going to. and obviously, and that last couple of Josh Allen, he threw 5 games, 67% completion, 1,651 yards, 14 touchdowns, 107.4 passer rating. And
I don't care what you say, Matt. He's good.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's just above average.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
Yeah, and this one definitely is going to be a shocker as well. He's averaging 375.2 total yards per game this year. It's number one in the NFL by a player, but he's averaging more yards per game by himself than 25. Other teams in the NFL in total offense
by himself.
25 yeah. Other NFL, he's had more yards per game averaging than 25 other teams in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah. I think we guys just call him, I don't know,
MVP.
MVP, White Jesus.
The Messiah. Messiah, the record breaker, I don't know, but
the savior.
And also I'm doing a coach one. Buffalo Bills put out the 0.616 regular season winning percentage, franchise record by Sean McDermott.
Yeah,
but you just see how these records tumble. And say we're only five weeks in.
I love the one that they said in commentary as well, that we've won our last 6 games at home by more than 14 points.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, it goes to show though how important it is going to be getting home field advantage in the playoffs. That's what makes the Chiefs game, and I know we're not going to talk about it now, but that Chiefs game is so important.
Yeah.
Because it's looking like that if that's going to be the battle for number one, you just can't give up on any of these games. We can't have any Jags-esque slip-ups.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the potential of this being a trap game, and obviously it didn't turn out that way, but we can't allow it to happen because I'm still convinced last season, if we've got the number one seed, if we win against the Jags and Josh Allen doesn't fall over in the Titans game, we get home field advantage. I'm still convinced we win the Super Bowl last season.
Yeah.
This team,
yeah,
if anything, is even better. But we have to not be going to somewhere else in the AFC Championship game. It has to be in Buffalo.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And all those other potentials coming up, because we've got the Bears, we've got the Lions. Yeah. Vikings are an up and down team, but could make it difficult. You've got to just keep winning those games. But the same are the right things, aren't they? It's like, let's go 1-0 this week. You know,
yeah.
Josh Allen was in an interview and he said, you were thinking about the Chiefs game. He's like, I didn't even know we were playing the Chiefs. We've just got the Steelers to get to, you know, that's all I'm worrying about. I didn't even know who we're playing next. We've only got one thing. And I believed him as well.
Yeah, I love it.
Maybe he wins me, but that's what they've got to keep doing. And in a way, and I think as you said, Mark, losing to the Dolphins has probably done them a favour. Losing to the Jags last season probably did them a favour, because I don't think they're going to underestimate any team. I think that they really will roll in, and it will take something extraordinary to beat them this season, like the Chiefs, for instance, or, you know, someone else. I don't think they're going to get careless. this year when maybe they did last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one thing before we sign off, I mean, I'm assuming that obviously by the time people listen to this podcast, they've probably seen what's going on Twitter and all that. But what are your views, obviously, about the potential Bills have inquired about Christian McCaffrey? I know.
Well, his agent's shopping him around, isn't he? That's normally how these things get leaked.
I know they're after him in. Well, they inquired about him in the off season. I think Ryan Tolbert and Matt Parrino actually did confirm that they did inquire about him. But it's obviously he's coming out to light now. Do we see him? Do you have him? Do you say no? Do you say yes? What do you give up for him?
I don't care.
Panthers are in a complete rebuild now.
The house.
Yeah.
The house. Really? What if I mean if he is available and is interested, I don't care what it costs. This is what teams like the Rams did it in. They gave up a lot and they won the Super Bowl last year. We've never won one. If Christian McCaffrey is free and available and hungry and injury free and interested, he gives us a running game overnight. You can give him the ball and he will make stuff happen. He's another option out the backfield. I mean, I don't care what it costs. If he is available and willing to come, I'm giving up it. I'm giving up whatever to get Christian McCaffrey.
According to the salary cap, I don't know if you've got it in front of you, Matt, apparently he's got $36 million in ongoing contract, but it isn't guaranteed. So even just to sign him for this season, it's something like
$600,000. Yeah.
Just to secure him. Now, I don't know how that works with picks or what whether you need a trade, but... Yeah, the only question mark I would have is looking at Bill's stats for run blocking. Like pass protection is pretty good, but run blocking, I think the Bills is one of the only stats that they're near the bottom.
But so are the Panthers. The Panthers are no better, and he still makes stuff happen. Mm. He's that good. He's a talent that is above and beyond almost anything else in the NFL.
My own concern is the injury history of him, and obviously with our training staff this season, I don't think he'll see the field. we send all those picks, and he plays what one snap and goes down injured, and our training staff don't know what to do.
I mean, yeah, it's a concern, and he will need a very, very rigorous medical. But can you imagine the fillip that the team gets if all of a sudden Christian McCaffrey walks into the locker room? You think, you're with us. You're with us now. Okay, yeah, cool. That's like someone signing like Kylian Mbappe. And you think, oh, okay, you're playing with me now. Cool. It'd be unbelievable.
The same thing could be said about OBJ. I mean, if the Bills are all in now, and obviously after these first five games, it shows we're pretty much there. What doesn't say that they do a Rams and trade for McCaffrey and then throw some money at OBJ for 1 year just to get that ring, and then those two can walk into the sunset or join another team. Because then you've got to pay the likes of Gabe Davis, obviously Edmonds, Poyer, and all that at the end of the season.
Ed Oliver
as well.
Yeah, there's a lot. So, I mean, again, like if someone was to come and offer me Odell Beckham, I'm not saying no.
Yeah,
I don't think we need him in the same way that we could use someone like Christian McCaffrey. But depending on the contract that he wants. But if someone was to come and say, look at the game he was having in the Super Bowl before he got injured, he played incredible in that game. Mm. So if someone comes to me and says, you know, he'll take a veteran minimum to come and play for you because like he's not interested in going to the Rams now because they're not contending. Again, I wouldn't say no. So long as Bean and McDermott think that the makeup of the player isn't going to disrupt the locker room too much, and he's been accused of that in the past. You look at what happened when he went to the Browns, etc. if they think his culture is fine, I'm all in. Mm. Cool, go get him. But I'd much rather get Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, it's now coming out that the Panthers haven't had trade talks and the Bills haven't been in contact with the Panthers. So it's a bit
of a... Well,
They're all bound to say that.
First in the history
he
of
say, she say.
Something out that later turned out to be true. I'm not sure. I don't know what to believe anymore. Yeah. If you could get him, yeah. But I'm always just a bit nervous about anything that might unsettle the 53 that's there, that you grab something and lose something of the cohesion and the community that they have at the moment. It's not so much making the team better, it's does it disrupt anything that's there. So I would probably be the one to tread a little more carefully.
What's interesting currently that there is as of kind of like 10 minutes ago, the Bills have an active roster of 52. Not 53.
Yeah, they released Jamarcus Ingram, signed some safety, what's his name?
Jarrad Maiden to the practice squad.
Yeah.
So that...
There is Brian as well.
The 53rd spot, if it's possible, the smart money is on that it's Trey back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would be great.
Can't really see anything else.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
I mean, is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, I mean, let's save it for the Chiefs preview, because this is going to be a long week. Waiting for the Chiefs game, and an extra 3 hours, 3.5 hours as well.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to Mark?
No, mate, just loving it this season. It's never been, like I said, never been so confident going into games like this. At no point, really, even in the run-up to the game, did I think that was going to be anything else other than a comfortable win. And I love the fact that the Bills are actually delivering on it at the minute. Mm. It's great.
Yeah. My tip is, or my thing is just, again, is to do with the fan group and with the stop off the Fitzrover. I mean, if people go down there, obviously, you know, it's getting bigger and bigger each week. A big shout out to Bridget, who runs a 50-50 draw. I've seen some of the prizes, and obviously half the money, half what's raised is on offer, and and some Bill's goodies. I think they raised, I think it's about, let me just get up on the notes. It's like 350 odd quid already. Yeah. 320 quid in only a couple of weeks of doing this for a chance, and all proceeds, all profit is going to go to the Royal College of London Hospital just up the road, their cancer unit. So if you do get down to Fitzrover Bell, which will now show the 9:25 games as well as the 6 PM games, do see Bridget, put some money in for some tickets. I think it's like £1 for a ticket. So all the money goes to good cause, and you can win some good prizes. So that's probably what the last thing I'm gonna say on that. Other than follow us on the socials. You know by now what socials you can find us three on and the UK Bills on. And for Robin, Mark, Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
You don't know anything about work. You know anything about work?
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.